now for the first time, we will be hearing for Reverend Dr. Lawrence, Yvonne Lawrence. Nothing like turning her name wrong backwards.
God is a good God. He's worthy to be praised. First of all, I just want to say good evening to everybody that's here. I thank the Lord that you thought it not a robbery to be out tonight in the devotional and then to stay and hear me say whatever the Lord has given me to say. I'm a little nervous, so pray for me. I'm always nervous when I have to get up to bring forth the word. But yes? Oh, I'm already doing that with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, John. Just a little bit about me for those who may not know me in my ecclesiastical capacity. I am ordained by God and by man. I'm the chaplain of several nursing facilities in Pennsylvania. One of the facilities I am responsible for 230 people. I do also a phone ministry. I think there's two mics on here. I have one. I don't need the other one.
You got one on you?
Yes.
Did you just move that one over?
I did already.
Okay.
Thank you.
I know others have done that.
Yes, I did that. As I said, I also do a phone ministry. I have 50 clients that I've talked to all year long. I'm going into my second year talking to the same 50 clients. It's a phone ministry also for the Little Brothers, Friends of the Elderly. I am a certified Christian counselor. I minister in three different capacities for blind ministry. I pastor Lamp Outreach Victory Evangelistic Ministries. I'm also associate minister at my home church, and I teach the Vacation Bible School for the adult class. My home church is New Hope Temple Baptist Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the Reverend Dr. John Cougar is my pastor. And having said all of that, you heard them announced me as Reverend Dr. Yvonne Lawrence. Degrees are fine, but the most important degrees that I have are a BA degree and a BS degree. And I don't know if anybody can tell me what those degrees might be. Can anybody tell me what my BA degree might be?
Born again.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Reverend Enoch. Born again. And what's the other one?
Been sanctified.
That's it. The two most important degrees that I could ever hold is my BA degree, I am born again, and my BS degree, I've been sanctified. Whew. Now I'm ready. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for another day that you have given us. This is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I ask, Lord, that you let me decrease that you might increase, that those of us here might hear your word and not hear me, but that you might work through me and I might be the vessel that you might use on this evening, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Whoa. I forget I'm wearing something and my Bible hit up against me. Sorry about that, y'all. This is a new contraption for me, too, but I thought it was better that I use this in the mic, because I don't like staying right in the mic. I am not a preacher to stay still. What can I do to be free?
Praise God.
John 8:32. And I'm reading from the King James Version, just in case you have one of the other versions. And my subject or my topic starts at the 32nd verse, but I'd like to read the 31st verse. And it says here in St. John, the 8th chapter, the 31st verse, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And the 32nd verse, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Thank you, Jesus.
And I want to speak on that tonight. I'm not going to preach the way I do at my church because I think all of yours might start running out the door. I heard Pastor Shockley said that we in the African American church do a little bit different than other churches. We're a little bit more fiery. And some of the other things that we do, we've been known to jump over pulpits and jump off. That's what the Holy Ghost does now. We don't do it on our own. So I won't do that tonight. I'm going to try to stand flat-footed and give you what thus saith the Lord. It's kind of hard because right now I am moving. Those that can see me, I'm moving from side to side. And it's kind of hard to hold on to this pulpit here. But you pray with me. I just want to say something. You know, when we lose money, sometimes we lose our job. Sometimes we might even lose our health. And especially to those of us tonight that have lost our eyesight, our hearing, etc. These are great losses. But a person's most valued possession is his or her soul. When we lose our soul, that is the most important thing in our life. I often tell people, it's not about living and it's not about dying, but it's all about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins. There are ministers, and I can speak for myself, we may have our ecclesiastic clothing that we wear from time to time, whether it be a robe or a collar or whatever, and we may hold high titles in the ministerial field. But I tell folks, and I can say this for myself because I am a minister, guess what? If I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardon of my sins, me, in correct English, on our way to hell. I'm on my way to hell because I don't know Jesus. What can I do to be free? The scriptures tells me that for what a man is, what profits a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And when you're home and you might be reading in the book of Matthew 16:26, that scripture, that part of the scripture is recorded. Therefore, everyone's prime interest in life should be the soul's salvation. For it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, recorded in Hebrews 9:27. You know, we have many excuses why we don't come to the Lord. I've been too bad. The Lord doesn't want me. I've been a murderer. I may have had somebody killed. I may have taken somebody else's wife or husband. I may have stolen. You know, we got all these excuses, things that we have done that makes us too bad to accept the Lord. Because I have many a times had people tell me that. Oh, the Lord doesn't want me. Because, see, I did this and I did that and I did the other. And there's so many excuses that we give. I often stand with my arms stretched out and I put my hands to my head to the side as if Jesus is laying on the cross. And they look at me. I said, what am I showing you? Well, it looks like Jesus on the cross because of the way that I stretch out my arms and the way that I have my head tilted to the side. I said, do you know what I mean by that? All excuses are nailed to the cross. So stop giving excuses. There's a scripture that says that I am not, Jesus said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The scripture says that in Matthew 9:13. We give so many excuses why we can't come to the Lord. Oh, well, you know, I'm working at it. You know, I'm trying to get it together. You know, when I get it together, I'll come to the Lord. You see, when I stop, I got to stop this job first. I got to get rid of this lady that lives with me that, you know, shouldn't be living with me. I got to do this. They got all these excuses that they have to do to come to the Lord. Oh, well, you know, I used to go to church. And let me tell you something. I go to church. I go to church every Sunday. I go to prayer meeting every Wednesday night or Tuesday night or whatever night they may have prayer meeting. I sing on the choir. Oh, and guess what? I pay all my debts. Oh, I pay my tithes and my offering. Because the Bible does tell us in Malachi about in Malachi 3 about bringing our tithes and our offerings unto the Lord? Oh, I pay my tithes every Sunday. I mean, we do all these things. We go to Sunday school. But, you know, when we think about it, we're still trying to get together the way we think we want to do. Oh, we even use the excuse. You know, I love Pastor Jack. And but I'm not too sure about Pastor Enoch. He's all right. He's all right. You know, I'm not too sure about him. You know, I never hurt anybody. I do everything right. I've never hurt anybody. But guess what? All of those things sound good. But the scripture tells me, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not what we do, because we pay. Even tonight, I gave benevolence offering. And I know some people might have only given 50 cents or a dollar, but I put $20 in last night, and I put $20 in tonight. Fine. There might even be folks here tonight who do not really know the Lord. They just came to conference. But I'm here to ask you the question, what can I do to be free? That's our theme for tonight. And that scripture that I quoted earlier came out of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's not by works, it's grace. Because if we could boast of what we do, my goodness, all of us in here would have halos. And especially our ministers, we got 1, 2, 3, at least 4 ministers sitting in the audience, if not more. And I'm singling them out, but let me rephrase that. We've got a whole host of ministers sitting in here. Because every one of you, if you say you are Christians, we're ministers for the Lord. Amen. We are soul winners for the Lord. So we should be able to go out and tell everyone about Jesus. But you can't do that if you're not free. You're bound in your spirit. You're bound in so many ways because you're not free. You're going through motions. We go to church and we dress up fancy. Some of us ladies in our fancy hats. I know I wear my hats on Sunday to church, and I wear them during the week too. And I like to look fashionable. Our men put on our fancy shoes and our fancy suits, and we like to look fashionable. We're all dressed up on the outside, but what's going on the inside? We're all messed up. We're not as clean as we should be. We just have a facade going on. We're just so holy. I could sit down and sit up here and, oh, I could speak so holy. And when you all see me in the halls in the morning, oh, praise the Lord, how are you this morning? Oh, I'm just so blessed of the Lord. Oh, I'm just blessed of the Lord. You've heard those phrases so many times. Oh, I'm highly favored and blessed of the Lord. It's nice to use those phraseologies, and some of them are biblical. But are we really blessed of the Lord? I mean, spiritually? Or are we just going through the motions? And sometimes that's what we do. We act like we're holier than thou. What can I do to be free? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What can I do to be free? I'm glad you asked. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, found in 2 Peter 3:9. Because we know one of our beautiful scriptures is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We also know another famous, or not famous, but familiar passage. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What can I do to be saved? I'm glad you asked again. We're still wondering, now, what do I have to do to be saved? I've heard all these things that people should do or shouldn't do, and I hear scriptures being quoted, and I got news for you. There's somebody that was kicked out of heaven and knows how to quote scriptures better than me. Knows the scriptures backwards, forwards, sideways, crossways, upstairs, downstairs, and all through the house. I mean, walking Bible. Can quote it verbatim, but can't live it. He can't live it. That's why he got kicked out of heaven. We don't have to even mention his name because you all know who I'm talking about. We're not glorifying him tonight. No way. But what can I do to be free? Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, we find this in John 3:3. And Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night because he didn't want anybody else to see him. And I think someone mentioned that earlier today. They stepped all over my sermon. But that's the confirmation of the Holy Spirit that I know this is what he wanted me to say. Because when I heard it today, several things, even in our seminar this afternoon, Dr. Moser spoke of certain things. And I go, woo, all over the sermon. That's okay. God is so good to reveal to us that we can't get into the kingdom unless we're born again. Nicodemus asked the question, I believe. He says, well, now, what do you mean by being born again? Can a man go back into his mother's womb again? Now, we know that was kind of a silly question. Nicodemus was not a dummy. He was a very intelligent man, rich man, in fact. Wasn't poor by any speck of the moment. But he asked that question, and Jesus let him know, no, that's not the kind of born again I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that kind of born. You need to be born of the Spirit. And the only way you can be born of the Spirit, well, we know you have to repent. And he says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You've asked again, what can I do to be free? Ooh, do you really want to know? I'll tell you what you can do to be free. Romans 10:9-13, as I read, it says here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, if you notice, there's only a few things that you have to do here. Confess with your mouth. Believe. Two things. Confess and believe. 10th verse says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth the confession is made unto salvation. Now, you notice it says, for with the heart. So now, even though you're confessing with your mouth, if it's only lip service, then there's nothing going on. You're just using lips, saying stuff. Oh, I love the Lord and I want to be saved. Save me, Lord. But in your heart, it's not what you mean. The heart is deceitful because the scripture says so. The Lord knows our heart. This is what we say sometimes. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go to service Sunday morning. And then we stay home. And then we tell the pastor or someone else, oh, you know, I meant to come to church Sunday, but some excuse we made up. 2-3 lies, because everything you're saying is a lie, because you didn't mean to come to church. You knew you wasn't coming to church when you told the pastor you was coming Sunday. You already knew you were going to the ball game or wherever else you decided you wanted to go. So why tell that lie? Because there's a scripture where the Lord says that a liar won't even tarry in his sight. He even said he would spew you up. Now, to me, when you say spew up, that means vomit up. Yep. That's how I feel. And I don't want the Lord going. I mean, when we think about it, when we tell what we call a untruth, but we don't say it like that, we tell white lies. I've searched my Bible to and fro, and I haven't found white lie in there yet. Haven't even found a black one. Has no color. The Lord just said liar. So now, if the Lord doesn't want us to tarry in his sight and we're liars, what do you think about me? I don't want you tarrying in my sight either. Because I was taught as a child, if you lie, you steal. If you steal, you lie. So that's where we have to do a lot of repenting sometimes. And it doesn't always mean stealing money. A lot of things we do, we steal a person's character by tearing them down, saying things about them that we know are not true. And if something is wrong, we should be not telling others, but telling the Lord about it and praying about it. So what must I do to be free? The 10th verse says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." 11th verse says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Whosoever, Italian, Greek, German, Russian, wherever you came from. It didn't say a special nationality. Didn't say a special country. It said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For, the 12th verse says, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon him. And the 13th verse says, for whosoever again, didn't say the Italian, didn't say the Englishman, didn't say African American, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, what can I do to be free? I read it in the scriptures. Confess. Believe. Big word. Repent. We have to repent. That's how we become free. Because you can be in prison behind bars and be free. What are you saying, preacher? How can you be behind bars and be free? Well, if you were a sinner, and you ask the Lord to come into your heart, as I've just read, you can become free in your spirit behind bars. Even though you're behind those iron bars, you're no longer in bondage. You're free because you've given your soul to the Lord. You've asked the Lord to come into your life. The most precious of all, everything you should own. You could be a woman with two gobs of diamonds, and I know some of them are rich enough to put them in vaults and whatnot. When they put them in these vaults and they have fake stuff made that costs half the amount of the money that, I don't know why they do it, of what they made. The diamond costs $20,000, so they take $5,000 and get a fake made, and that's what they wear and keep the other one in the vault. Strange to me. But you can be free in your spirit behind bars. You don't have to be in bondage. We need not be in bondage. Even in our life right now, if you've done something yesterday, the day before, 20 years ago, how do we become free? Asking the Lord to forgive us. It doesn't matter what it was. For us ladies, we may have committed adultery. We may have had an abortion. We know these things are sinful. But if you're a Christian now, do not let the devil tell you, you know you did that 20 years ago. He can say it, but guess what? Jesus said, I will take all your sins when you come to me. Hallelujah. All your sins. And throw them what? In the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. So I don't care what man says. They can say, oh, Reverend Lawrence, I remember, which I didn't do it, but I'm just using myself, that you were a lady of the night. And since we're out west, some things in Vegas and other places, you can do things and, you know, it's not sinful. You know, you stand on the corner, it's after 9 o'clock. Y'all know what I'm talking about. In the Bible, they call them harlots. But if the Lord has forgiven me, and as I speak of a harlot, I don't know if anybody knows the story of Rahab, but guess what? If God can take Rahab, who was a harlot, and save her, guess what he can do with you and I if we repent? Hallelujah. He can save us. What can I do to be saved? All I got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry of my sins. All I got to do is repent in my heart, hallelujah, and believe, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, that the Lord Jesus Christ died and was buried and he yet lives again and sits on the right-hand side of the Father. That's all I have to do, confess and believe. What must I do? What can I do to be free? I want to read a little bit of a poem to you, and I'm almost coming in. Anybody read the Daily Bread in here?
Yes.
Did anybody read the 31st Thursday,
yes.
Just As I Am?
Yes.
Well, guess what? When I was looking through this at home, and I said, oh, this is beautiful. And there's a man here in here, and it says here, good memories flooded my mind. As I sat, I'm just digressing a minute from the word, as I sat in concert, and the group's leader had just introduced the song they were about to sing, Just As I Am. Remembered how many years ago, the end of his sermons, this person is saying that his pastor used to always have this song prayed, you know, especially when people come up to join the church, you know, and they want the Lord to forgive them of their sins. And the music leader said, you know what? There's other occasions that we could have this song sung. And he thought about it. He said, when a person is going home, have passed on, just as I am, Lord, take me as I am. In other words, right now, if Jesus came this very moment, every one of us should be ready to go home.
Amen.
Every one of us. Because if we're not, something is amiss. We need to pray and say, Lord, come into our lives right now, right this moment, because we don't know when the Lord's going to call us. We could not even leave this room. But if the Lord calls, we don't have to wait for the rapture. We ought to be ready to go home with the Lord. That's what he talks about when he talks about all in the lamp, when you talk about the 10 virgins. Well, we're not going to preach that. But that's what he's talking about, being ready, all in our lamp. All in our lamp is praying, fasting, reading the word on a daily basis. That's what helps us and keeps us to be free. And just before I close, the Christian's Declaration of Independence. I am free from failure, for I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. I am free from want. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. By Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. I am free from fear, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. I am free from doubt, for God has given to every man the measure of faith, Romans 12:3. I am free from weakness, for the Lord is the strength of my life, Psalms 27:1. And the people know they shall be strong and do exploits, Daniel 11:12. I am free from the power of Satan, for greater is he, hallelujah, that's in me, than he that's in the world, 1 John 4:4. I am free from defeat, for God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 2:14. I am free from ignorance, for Christ Jesus has made unto me wisdom from God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. I am free from sin, for the blood of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, cleanses me from all sin, 1 John 1:7. I am free from worry, for I am to cast my cares on him, 1 Peter 5:7. I am free from bondage, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. And lastly, I am free from condemnation. For there, hallelujah, is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:1. And in my closing, you say, what can I do to be free? Hallelujah. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, some of the saints being Abraham, Moses, Paul, etc., and you are part of the household of God. God bless you. What can I do to be free? God bless you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that it be sanctifying to each and every one of us, that we will hide your word in our heart, Lord, that we might not sin against thee. God bless you. Amen.